Hello, hello. You know when you watch a movie and it's a bit slow or it's a bit boring or it's a bit, I don't know, it seems like you know what's going on and there's no depth to it. It's just kind of like, okay, whatever. And then, out of the blue, maybe right at the end, there's this tiny insignificant detail. This small thing just appears out of nowhere and it puts everything into perspective. And it makes you rethink everything. And whatever you thought it was, that's not what it was. And it turns everything upside down. And it's just, whoa, you know. Those are some of my favorite movies. Because the power to change your mind and the power to make everything that appeared real up to that point not feel real anymore is just, I think, such a great art. And what does this have to do with me? Well, something happened yesterday that was like one of those moments. And I think being trans, you kind of go through that sort of thing where things can seem stabilized for a while. You think, oh, I'm okay. It's fine. I've thought about it. I've dealt with these issues. And then out of the blue, a tiny, tiny thing just that you could never predict. You know, it's not as if you go down the street and some people are like, "You're trans, go die." You know, it's not like in your face that you can sort of prevent and you think, "Oh, if I just don't go to that place, this is not going to happen." You can't run away from these things. It could be anything. It could be something in the news. It could be a stranger on the street. You know, you cannot escape it. You know, that's the thing. You think, oh, I'm going to have these defense mechanisms, and I'm going to have these walls up, and I'm going to have these thoughts and these expectations and these constructs that are going to protect me from these things happening. But no, you cannot be protected. You cannot be protected. So what happened was, I was at home and I took a shower, so I put some of my clothes in the washing machine, and I realized that I recently cleared out my closet. I do that quite regularly. I think it's a great thing to do. And I don't have any clothes left, but the clothes I have left are really great. I love them. I wear them all the time. You know, they're good clothes. I'd rather have a few good clothes that I like than have tens and hundreds of clothes that I never end up wearing. So I put my sort of tracksuit bottoms in the washing machine that I just wear around the house, lounging trousers, very comfortable, that I'd recently got from Primark. Hashtag no shame. It's probably a scam call. Hello. It is a scam call. I see it's calling from Manchester, and I'm just like, yeah, that is a scam call. So I put these tracksuit bottoms from Primark in the washing machine, and I realized that they're the only ones I've got. So I have to wear jeans around the house, which are not very comfortable. So I was like, I don't want to wear jeans. So I think, you know, I'm going to go to Primark and I'm just going to get another pair of them or different ones. I'm just going to get another pair. So, you know, I recently discovered that I quite like Primark for very simple things, like just the sort of clothes that get damaged quite easily, or that you sweat in, or that get, you know, that you just kind of wear a lot. So I thought instead of ruining expensive clothes, I'm just going to get cheap clothes to begin with so that I can, you know, I can get more of them. That just made sense to me. So I thought I'm just going to go back to Primark. So I went back to Primark, and the funniest thing, right, it's still winter time after Christmas, so their Christmas stock is gone. But instead of just general winter or even spring things, what they've got in stock is holiday things. I'm never going to say summer things because they're not really summer things, but they're holiday things. So obviously, if you go on holiday somewhere warm, then basically it becomes summer. So there's all these like swimming trunks and just summery things, and I'm just like, what? It's literally January. What's going on? I didn't think too much of it. I picked up a few items, and I thought, you know, I'm going to try some shorts on as well because why not? Really nice colors. I thought, well, I don't really think I'm going to go topless on the beach and actually go swimming, but I'm just going to try them on because why not? I like trying things on. So I picked up like too many things, and I had to leave some outside of the changing rooms because there were too many things. And you know, I just tried them on, and I didn't really like them. And I had about three or four different kinds of swimming trunks, and they had this weird like extra layer on the inside, you know, for like swimming things. And that's how you know they're for swimming, right? They're not just normal shorts. They're like, they're for swimming. And like, you know, the material is kind of silky. So I thought, yeah, this is definitely for swimming. And, you know, I got naked except for my underwear. So I put the swimming things on, and they were all right. To be honest, I thought I looked a bit fat in them. I had the bizarre realization, hashtag second puberty, that, you know how some people talk about the body type that they call skinny fat? So it's like, oh, it's skinny but also fat at the same time, and it's like this weird thing. And I realized that my body type at this time is actually skinny, fat, muscular, hairy. I know hairy is not a body type, but I think it's a feature worth mentioning. So I was like, I am skinny, but also fat, but also muscular, but also hairy. And it's just like, what is this even? And I think for the first time in my life, I've actually got to the point where I feel specifically uncomfortable with my body type, because I've always been relatively skinny, and obviously as female, I fell in the average default shape. Not that I was very into it, obviously, or that I was wearing feminine clothes, but just generally in terms of the body type itself, for a female, was acceptable, and I never felt like I was overweight or, you know, obviously I wasn't comfortable with it, with the femaleness of it, but in terms of the general body type of being underweight or overweight or whatever, it was a conventionally good body type. So even though I was extremely uncomfortable wearing swimming suits and bikinis and stuff like that, I never thought anyone else would think anything of me. So I was just, I felt safe in the fact that people were not going to judge me, even though on the inside, of course, I felt uncomfortable in myself, but no one would have a clue about that because they just saw what they saw, and I just felt what I felt. So looking in the mirror, I was like, oh, do you know what? Now I understand what it feels like to literally be like, you know what? I feel like my body's wrong. And I could not possibly be topless, I could not possibly wear this swimming trunk, I could not possibly go swimming, I could not possibly be on the beach, I could not possibly, you know, like, I would feel like if I did that, I would become like a freak show, and I would just feel like everyone's staring, and I would want the sand to be quicksand, let's put it that way. So anyway, I didn't think too much about it. I thought, you know, obviously these are not a nice thought, but I expected it, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to try on this thing, you know, obviously I'm probably not going to be super happy about it. But that's not really what set me off. What set me off is, as I put one of these pairs of shorts on, I just kind of, I just looked on the inside, and I noticed the weird sort of net-like material that's on the inside, that's like the extra layer, the more snug layer that is tighter than the actual shorts themselves, that's on the inside, that's like this white net-like material. That material also had this extra pouch on the side, a sort of square rectangular-shaped pouch. And I think in that context, it doesn't take long to kind of realize what that might be for, which is for condoms. Condom packets are exactly that shape and size. I was like, what else could it be? You know, it's like a condom-shaped pouch on the inside of swimming trunks. And that was that moment that just kind of shifted everything. And I just felt like a punch in the stomach. And I just stared at it like, it wasn't something that I'd ever seen before, and yet it just carried all this meaning with it. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, I can see this condom pouch and someone wearing these shorts with a condom pouch and a condom in a condom packet in the condom pouch in the shorts that someone's wearing on the beach. And somehow this simple activity of just being on the beach or going swimming, that's, you know, the shorts are just a piece of garment, but all of a sudden they're more than that. All of a sudden, you know, the whole point of being on the beach is that somehow you're wearing these shorts and somehow that situation is sexual in some way, because here you are having these condom packets on you inside the shorts. So obviously you're on the beach, but really you're on the beach because you're going to have sex with someone. And that means they're going to need a condom because you're going to have an erection. You're going to put the condom on the erection. You're going to have sex. And all of that just takes a life of its own and takes over everything. And I'm just staring at this square piece of material inside these shorts, witnessing all of these meanings that I am not part of and could not be part of and have not been part of. And I just feel like a ghost. Like a ghost in amongst people. I thought this is kind of like, there's this really popular place down the road that does desserts, ice cream related desserts. Very popular in the winter all the time. It's very massively successful. And I thought, you know what that feels like? It's like being in that place. You know, the sundaes have all these toppings and the glasses are beautiful. There's these, you know, tall, tilted glasses. And it's quite an experience. And you're sat there and everyone's having one. And you don't have a mouth. You know what it feels like. You already know what it feels like. You know what it tastes like. You know that it's nice. It would be too easy to just think, oh, you know, I'm sure it's whatever. It's not, it can't be that good. Well, no, you know it is good, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't want it to begin with. But you just sat there having to somehow bear the reality of it, knowing that any stupid excuse or argument is not going to make it any better. And sometimes I catch myself comparing myself or assuming things about people and having a very strong reaction in terms of, this is something that I struggle with so in such a huge amount, and yet for so many other people it is the most mundane basic thing imaginable, and it is right in my face, and I can't blame them and I can't blame anything. I just have to bear it. And in that moment, I realized that I need to really forgive myself for feeling like that and just cut myself slack. Because honestly, I am allowed to feel like that. If you're in the Sunday place without a mouth, it's unreasonable to expect you to be like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. You know, I'm cool with it, whatever. I don't know how you'd be saying this without a mouth. Maybe you need to write it down or something. it would just be too much to expect me to be okay with it, to not be thrown into a vortex of torment. It would be ridiculous to expect that. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, It's like holding a toy with a kid and you're not giving the toy to the kid. And it's like, well, you know, they can control themselves. And it's like, yeah, but come on. You know how they're really feeling. And, you know, don't try to kind of erase it or deny it. So I just tell myself, you know, if in this particular situation, for this particular thing, it is okay for me to feel like this. It would be insane for me to even pretend to feel anything other than insecurity and jealousy and depression and torment and agony. And I think even a basic level of civility is actually a huge accomplishment for me to be dealing with this. You know, even just actually going through it is a show of strength. And if I cannot find a way to dilute these negative emotions into something palatable or even positive, then I can forgive myself for that because I should forgive anyone, and anyone should be able to forgive anyone for not being okay in that situation. So I forgive myself. I allow myself. Of course, I'm going to feel like that. Of course, I'm going to feel like that. It's okay. It's almost the only way, really, for me to feel like that. It would be ridiculous and a complete lie for me to even pretend that I feel anything else. It would just be a complete lie. Okay, I'm trying to think of another example. It's like you walk into a room and everyone's way taller than you. And it's like, oh no, I'm so super chill with this. I don't think it's a problem. I'm super fine with that. You know, those people exist. And I aim to one day have half of the security and grace and wisdom required to be that person. But before I can get there, I'm going to be like 99% of everyone else who is going to be instantly deflated and instantly self-conscious and instantly insecure and anxious. And these feelings limit the relationships and interactions that I can have with people because as much as you love someone, as much as you love someone and you want to be happy for them, I think if you're sat down and someone is having the most amazing Sunday in the world and you don't have a mouth, you're gonna have to feel a little bit shit for yourself. You are allowed to feel a little bit petty and a little bit shit about yourself. So let me feel a little bit shit about myself, you know? This is a negative one, okay? This is the good shit. This is a just a raw, shitty episode. There's no wisdom, there's no joy, there's no nothing. The only thing is, actually, now that I think about it, the thing is, you know, that moment of kind of that punchline of, oh my goodness, everything's turned upside down. You know, the thing is, you do, I didn't process it immediately. That's like an emotional reaction that I have. I don't process it immediately. I get hit with it, and I need some time to really understand what just happened, and then some more time to really reflect on it, and then some more time to really put it into perspective. So it's kind of a slightly stretched out process. So as I was walking away from Primark, by the way, I didn't like any of the stuff that I tried on, so I just ended up getting exactly the same tracksuit bottoms that I had before, which is fine because they're great. So yeah, I've got two of the same now. It sort of sunk in, and initially I thought, oh, you know, it's fine. Cause you know, I'm one of those stoic people that, you know, are fine, you know, I'm fine, I'm strong, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm perfect, you know. So I didn't think like, oh no, I'm not that bothered. I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered. But sort of as I was walking away from it, it just really, really sunk in. And I was like, actually, I think I'm quite bothered. And I ended up having a really shitty day. Like the whole day was just marred by this. And if you are stoic, you don't admit it. And you're like, no, I'm fine. And you go really far just saying that you're fine. And then you realize you really weren't. And the reason you had a bad day was because of that small thing. And the reason you were not in the mood was because of that small thing. That small thing that you're like, oh, whatever, I don't care, that doesn't bother me, is exactly what influences your whole day, your whole week, your whole whatever. It can have a tremendous power over what happens afterwards. And even if you think, oh, I'm over it, I'm not thinking about it, on an emotional level, you are still carrying it with it. And if you don't look at it and think, okay, what, you know, how am I actually feeling? What is this? You are going to have some negative consequences and you might not even realize that that's why. So as I was walking away, I thought, this is really sinking in. I'm actually quite upset about this. And the thing is, normally when I encounter these random things that just take me by surprise in a moment where I thought I was doing fine, and all of a sudden everything just crashes around me, normally the sort of the go-to dark thought is suicide. And, oh, you know, this is awful, I can't deal with this. And then this suicidal ideation comes in. And I don't know why this is a weird thing to talk about, because I'm pretty sure everyone does this. It's like social media stalking. Oh, you know, you can't do that, you're a weirdo. It's like, I'm pretty sure everyone does that. It's like, if not everyone did that, social media would not be such a big thing. Like, I'm pretty sure that's like what everyone does. It's kind of like, oh, let's not talk about shitting, but we're all, you know, we all take a shit. You know what I mean? It's like, why is this such a weird thing? I'm pretty sure everyone does this. But the funny thing is that when I had this thought yesterday, I didn't think of killing myself. It was so numbing that I just thought, I don't even see the point of killing myself. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I literally just thought, I actually don't even see the point. I don't see how killing myself is even going to change anything. It's like, you know, I might as well just become incarnated in something else. And that thing is not going to go away. I don't think killing yourself even does anything. I was so paralyzed and numbed by this experience that not even suicide seemed like a thing that could really make a difference. It's like, no, that can't make a difference. Nothing can make a difference. It was one of those bizarrely uplifting, depressive moments of nothing matters, therefore I guess it's all good. It's like everything is so shit that actually it's kind of okay. It's like, well, okay, this is as shit as it could possibly be, so really it can only get better. I mean, yeah, it's one of those existential paradoxes where if something is just so heartbreaking and awful, and you don't really feel like there's absolutely anything you can do about it, it's almost liberating because you feel like there is something that you need to do. But if there isn't anything that you can do, then whatever. Whatever, you know. So yeah. I like those movies. I like those movies where a tiny thing carries so much symbolism and so much consequence, and you don't see it coming, and you think you know what's happening, and then this small thing comes to really change everything. It's not nice when it happens in real life, though. But I guess if real life is just some sort of a simulation, then meh, whatever. Anyway, hopefully I'll have something more uplifting in the next one. But I can't promise it, because at the end of the day, this is the good shit. See you next time.